Today's message will be from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11, all the way to chapter 10. Now, let me recap a little bit for you. Since the beginning of this month, we talk about all the attributes of God, right? The holiness of God, the power of God, the love of God, the righteousness of God. All these attributes make us understand more about this God. But today, the message I'm going to share with you, the salvation of God, is not one of the attributes of God. Or should I say, why the reason we are sharing with you all those attributes of God in the past is for today. It's for this message. This message, the salvation work of our God, is the climax. It's the conclusion of us knowing all those attributes of God. Why we have to understand the holiness of God? So no sinner can stand before a holy God without his or her sin being taken care, right? But how can our sin be taken care? It is because the love and the graces of God so that we be forgiven of our sins. But how all those things come together? How this thing works? So this is a very, it's very hard to understand. In theology, we call it a substitutionary atonement. But Bible, the whole Bible, basically is talking about this point. Remember Hebrews, the author of the book of Hebrews, he's not talking some theological term. He has some example. He cites a lot of OT example, right? For example, like this passage, he talk about the sacrifice. Let me ask you this question. Do you still remember when Abraham was called to sacrifice his son Isaac before the altar? What happened? Well, when the father and son, they go out before the altar, and the son asking the father a question, where is the sacrifice? And you remember Abraham said, I know our God will prepare, right? But actually, he was called to sacrifice his own son, Isaac, on that altar, right? So in Abraham's mind, who's going to get killed? His son is going to get killed. But because of his belief, he believed God will make his son back to alive again. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. All those lessons about faith, about God's salvation, is with example. Historical example of Abraham. For example, like chapter 11, verse 17. Let me read it for you. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Okay, let's look at verse 19. Abraham responded that God could raise the dead. So he did receive Isaac back from death, which means he think that God actually want him to put Isaac to death, and then God will bring Isaac back to alive. That's what he believed, right? Hebrew tells us very clear, this is the content of Abraham's belief in God. However, our God is better than what he think. He prepared a sacrifice. So what happened to that event is, when they look to the angel appeared and stopped them. The messenger stopped Abraham, do not harm this child, right? And look to the side, there's a sacrifice prepared. And that sacrifice that. So, people call that praise Jehovah will prepare, right? And so this is a substitute. Something was a substitute for Isaac in that sacrifice. So this kind of concept is what Bible is teaching about salvation work about God. Let's turn back to Hebrew 9. I told you that we're going to go from 11 to 15 first, okay? Okay, let me read you from chapter 9 from verse 11 to 15. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats, but he entered the most holy place once for all, by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goat and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkle on those who are ceremonial unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more than were the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleans our conscience from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Verse 15, for this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Look again, verse 15. For this reason, Christ is the mediator. What does that mean? There is action. What's the actions? In verse 14, the blood of Christ was shed and died for us. So in a sense, whole Bible is talking about our Lord sacrifice himself for our sins so that we can stand before our God. All God's attributes can be fulfilled and justified. If we truly understand the holiness of God, then we know we are not able to stand before our God, our holy God. And we desire and we want the love and the mercy of our Lord. God has compassion for us. God willing to love us and forgive our sin. But he has to fulfill his another attribute, which is just. No sin will go without punish, right? So how can God be just and mercy at the same time? Well, our God is an absolute God. Our God is a perfect God. Before the creation of human being, God has no problem with his just, his holiness, and his love, his mercy. But this attribute of God become a problem when try to address our human sin problem, you know? We are the problem. We are the one cause God has to do something to make this thing right. So we have to understand ourselves. If we think we are okay person, then God doesn't have to, you know, do such a big thing to help us. We are all sinners, which we are unable to help ourselves. So the reason God has to do something for us, and by the way of sacrifice himself. You know, this is something that has been prepared in eternal. Not something that, no, maybe you picture this in a way like, oh, God is a perfect God. Sometime in the time, God decided to create human being, so he created a man. Then this man was created okay, perfect, but somehow the foreshow and the sin then there's a problem of sin. And so God has to come back and fix that problem. Maybe that's your concept. Is that right? No. God is a perfect God. The time when he created this universe, he already foreknew that mankind will sin. So in the beginning of the creation of the beginning, God already prepared that sacrifice. Christ is prepared even before we are born, even before the universe was created. So that example, what happened in Abraham's age, is just a symbol. You know, even though Abraham was a test, it's a story about his own faith. But in the spiritual meaning, it's telling you a beginning of a love story, which is a righteous God sacrifice himself for his beloved children. And so Abraham, knowing it or not knowing it, he is doing a symbolic act by sacrificing his only son, Isaac. And God prepared a sacrifice for him. And that's what we call a substitutionary sacrifice. And that thing come to the new T, become a theology, become a teaching. And Jesus realized everything. He's a realization of this God's work. And we call this the salvation work of our God. You know, this is not something I make up. If you look at the whole Bible, actually, it's all talk about that. Let me share with you one passage from from Isaiah 53, from verse 4 all the way to verse 12. In that passage, only a short passage, it was mentioned 7 times that God did something for us, on behalf of us. That kind of meaning. For example, I read it for you. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wound we are healed. And we, like sheep, had gone astray. We have turned, every one of us, and turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. All these passages are sharing with us that God did something for us, for our sin, for our iniquity, for our transgressions. Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. Everything is for us. Jesus came into this world with only one mission. The only mission is to die for us. Brother and sister, we are not a mistake of God's creation. Even though we don't like ourselves, sometimes we look at the mirror and say, oh, I love this person. How come everything I did, on the contrary, hurt that person that I truly love? And that's because of our sinful nature. We worry a lot. We are selfish. You know, so many times we look at that ourselves on that mirror. We don't like ourselves. And we think that, all these things is a mistake. Why God make such a huge mistake by creating us and now sending Jesus down to the world and fixing that problem? Brother and sister, that's not the case at all. Our sin and our problem of sin is a perfect opportunity, a perfect manifestation of God's salvation work. By By dying for us, for our sins, God can make us truly understand what is the righteousness of God, what is the grace and loving God is. You know what I mean? If there is no sacrifice, if there is no dying of our Jesus on the cross, people, human, will not understand how great, how righteous, how just, how loving, how gracious our God is. So this is a design, you call it a design mistake. But it has never been a mistake. This is very, very deep teaching. We call it substitutionary atonement. I hope you understand that. You know, people have this kind of concept already. Have you ever heard any story? I heard a story, I think it's not Chinese story, it's a Western story. There's a judge. The judge, a criminal was brought before him. And it was with a very serious crime. And the one who committed a crime is the judge's only son. The father is the judge, and the son is the criminal. And his son was brought before that judge. And the judge was thinking, how should I do? This is my son. How can I put my son to death? After a lot of struggling, and he decided, I still have to put the just punishment on this criminal, who is my son. So he announced the judgment. Then, surprisingly, after the announcement of the judgment, he went down and said, "I'm going to take that punishment on behalf of my son. So spare my son from that punishment." He, the judge, announced his own death. The judge announced his own punishment, in a sense. Well, this is just a story. Maybe you heard it before, right? Or some kind of story like that. How come people are so touched with that story? How come this story was told generation to generation? Because this is something really touched our heart. Believe me, this is something God put in our mind that we know this is the solution. This is what God is going to do on us. But before we do that, before we agree with this so-called substitutional atonement, you have to know, I have to know, we all have to know, we are a sinner. And we are in need of that forgiveness. Otherwise, whatever God, whatever Christ has done for us has nothing to do with us. You know, he is not a God there, show his goodness to every one of us, and so we are attracted to him. He is not a God that we pray to him, say, I am in trouble, I am in need. Dear God, help me. So when God helps us, then we respond to him and say, oh, how wonderful God you are. I want to worship you. Brother and sister, that's not the case. The only stance for us before God is, we come before him and confess we are a sinner. We in need of that salvation. We need you, God. Not because you are a wonderful God only, but because we need you. Otherwise, we'll be punished eternally in the hell. We need our God. We need God to save us. We cannot live without God. So God has to die for us. There's no other way. There's no other solution. So when we come and approach this Christianity, let's not do those religious comparisons. Oh, what they think, what they believe. You know, all religions are all good. No, they are not all the same. There's only one truth. Let me ask you that question. 1 plus 1 equals what? 2. Will you give me another answer? No. There's only one answer. In this created universe, the truth has only one truth. And that's what we are. We are sinners. Let me share with you some passage. Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. So none is righteous. No, not one. Including us, right? Not Jews, not Greeks, not American, not Chinese. Every one of us. No one is righteous. Not one, not even one. Romans 5. Therefore, Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. What does that mean by sin came into the world through one man? Who is that guy? Adam. And you say, oh, well, we are okay person. You know, I need God. I need God's help. I'm imperfect. Maybe you are a little bit better than somebody else. Don't think that. You talk about everybody's sin so that everybody die. Have you ever seen anybody that doesn't have to pass that trial of death? Everybody die. We all die. So we all sin. That's what Bible teaches us. This is all no argument that. So we all are in need of God's salvation. There's no exception. But we need to confess that. So from 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Okay, now in the past couple of weeks, we have Karen, we have Pastor Jim, we have Pastor Dan share with us the righteousness of God, share about the holiness of God, the love of God. Everybody testify on that, right? But that's nothing to do with us. Doesn't matter how good that God is, He has nothing to do with us unless we confess our sins and we receive Him into our life. If we don't do that, Bible says, if we don't do that, we are calling Him a liar. We made Him a liar. God is not really just. God is not really loving. Brother and sister, the problem is not God's problem. God is the perfect God. Doesn't matter how we think about it. God is just, absolutely holy, absolutely mercy and love. The problem is with us. And we need to confess. We are the problem. When we confess that, when God made perfect our life, all that we desire, all that we look for, the perfect compassion, the loving care, or the just, all those attributes that we desire will become realized. We can have it. And that's the process. That's how we do it. So, if we come back to Hebrews 9, looking from verse 16 to 28, if you continue to read it, I want to point you to verse 22 especially, and you will realize the need of that death in this sacrifice. In verse 22, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without a shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It's to talk about a ritual. But in the same, why that Isaac has to be sacrificed? And there was another sacrifice a goat be killed to replace Isis as priest. They has to have somebody to die, a blood to shed. And so God died for us. Well, probably you don't like it. You say, you know, well, I can become a better person by knowing Bible teaching is wonderful. Well, I can just, you know, grab some of the good teaching from this Bible and use it in my life. You know, some part I don't like it. I'm very glad about your youth group's curriculum teaching about a lot of pretty controversial issue, you know, in the coming quarter, coming year. For example, somebody say, oh, you know, I love the NT God, it's so loving. I don't like the OT God, so cruel, kill everybody. Oh, I love the God also to be, you know, to have to reconcile with everybody. I don't like the teaching about homosexual. You know, you are pick and choose. This is something I think is good for me, something I need. Oh, those are not. No, I can live without those. No. You cannot pick and choose. This is the whole package. This is what we had to have. You know, have any dialogue with those oriented, those East Asian type of people, their religions? You know, some people in Asia, they believe in Buddha, right? You know, Buddha is, the concept of being a Buddha is you have to do a lot of good deeds. And so those merits will help you, and so you will become a Buddha. And away from the suffering of this world. That's what they call Buddha, okay? And because not everybody can become a Buddha, because it's so hard, you have to be, you know, blameless. You have to do all those good works. So there's a middle class, they call it, I don't know how to say that because it's Indian. That word is Indian, it means Pusa. It's not Buddha, but small Buddha, okay? Is Buddha something, or the ending is very long? That's Indian language. I don't know how to say it. But I call it little Buddha, okay? That little Buddha was in the mid-air. You know, he is not totally away from this world. And so he has all the merits. He can go to heaven, but he choose not. So he stay in the middle. And so then he like everybody who pray to him, so he can share those merits with them. So those Chinese temple you go to, like Guan Gong, or whatever those Chinese temple you go to, they always there's an idol inside, right? That guy is a little Buddha. Well, he choose to let you to pray through his name. Okay? The true Buddha, you cannot pray to him because he's already gone. He's away from the world, all right? And those small Buddha is the one you to pray. See, that's the concept. People are thinking, oh, I'm not able to do it. I need help. And so they ask for those small Buddha for help. Somehow, that's how Chinese, you know, changed the Buddhism. Buddhism was not in this way in the beginning. But that tells you something, that we are all in need of something to do for us. The Bible makes it clear that you don't pray to all those human figures or whatever, because that cannot deal with all your eternal sin problem. And God died for us, and we, by receiving, by confessing that we are sinner, we will receive that forgiveness. And to a degree, God himself has to die. Not just some other human being. Not just our own good works won't help us. God has to die. The blood has to be shed. Okay? And now let's turn to chapter 10, or Hebrew chapter 10. You also talk about, continue to talk about that sacrifice. And you're going to share with us the consequence or the effectiveness of that sacrifice, which is eternal. Let me share with you verse 11. Day after day, every priest stand and perform this religious duty. Again and again, he offered the same sacrifice. You know, each year, every time, the great priest had to sacrifice for Israel people's sin. And we had to come, if we don't have that salvation, we come to church every Sunday. Every time we did something wrong, we pray to God, we ask forgiveness. Again and again, we do it in a repeated way. But that doesn't work. That won't help us. That's not a problem. That's not a solution. But continue to read 14, verse 14. Because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Jesus has to die only once on the cross. And one sacrifice enough itself is already made perfect everything. And not just perfect for people who believe him afterwards. If I share with you another passage from Romans 3, let me read it for you. God presents Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance he had left the sin committed beforehand unpunished. Which means God's sacrifice can forgive the sin committed even before God's death. And after God's death, after Christ's death. For example, like you are my grandma is a first Christian in our family. How about my grandparents? Now, when did they receive gospel? Doesn't matter when they heard the gospel. Because God's sacrifice is eternal. It's universal. This is so simple, but it's so important. For example, let me ask you a question. Those people are never heard of gospel. How can they be saved? Or how God saves them? Bible teaches us they still are saved by the grace of God. Are still saved by believing, trusting themselves in Christ. But you told me, Pastor, they had never chance to hear gospel. How can they be saved? God will judge them with their conscience. However, the forgiveness are still from that sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So it's one simple sacrifice applied to everybody. The people who are before Christ, during the Christ time, and afterward. And also everywhere in this whole universe. That's so simple. Somebody, they don't trust that. They say, oh, you Christian, make things, you just want us to become Christian. So you make this so easy. Whoever just believes in Jesus will be saved. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to change anything. That doesn't make sense. I don't want it. But I'm telling you, this is the thing that truly makes sense. Because only by these simple acts can become a universal truth. So everybody, educate or not educate, men and women, intellectual, not intellectual, whatever kind of background, whatever kind of origin, you can all be saved. God loves this world. And this is something that is so important. The salvation has to be free, has to be easy for us to get. So we are receiving this grace, receiving this salvation freely and just by trusting ourselves in him. And it has eternal works. Next time when you did something wrong, when you're going to do something wrong, I don't want you to feel so sorry to a degree that you say, I'm no good. This faith is not helping us. You know, when we trust ourselves and ask forgiveness of God, God going to forgive our sins that we had not yet commit. You know, maybe 2 years later, 3 years later, 10 years later, we're going to do something really terrible. But I'm telling you, God teach us. God has forgiven already all our sins by our trusting in Him. So when knowing about that, we feel secure in our salvation. That thing won't lead us into more sin being committed. It will lead us to a realization that our nature is such a sinful, and we're to come before God always with a repentant heart. And that's the way how God keep us, how God preserve us in our daily walk with God. So, you know, teaching about all those attributes of God is good. Let us know, wow, this is a wonderful God. But the best is when all these attributes working together is the salvation work. It's the dying of our Lord Jesus on the cross. And even more important is it has something to do with us. God is not a God living in some place we are not unreachable to us. God is in our life. God is seeking for us. And we can constantly in relationship with this God through our realization, through our confession, our profession of faith. This is a theology teaching. It's kind of hard, you know. But I wish you can, you know, sometimes spend some time studying those difficult teaching from the Bible. Because by knowing this, I don't know about you, me for myself, when I know this, it really helped my faith. As I share with you, you have to realize your salvation is secure. Once you put your trust in Christ, you will not lose your salvation. You will better yourself. God will help us. But you don't have to worry about that. Otherwise, this God is not a powerful God. If He loves us, if He forgive our sin, then He will help us all the way. And that's so important for a Christian to realize this as soon as possible, becoming a Christian. You know, so next week we're going to share with you about the graciousness of God. It's like after work. You know, after you become a Christian, you're going to continue to enjoy all the provision and protection of our Lord. And we're going to experience all the goodness of Him. But the turning point is knowing this is a wonderful God. How can I make this wonderful God to do with me? And then we can enjoy the graciousness of God in the future. So, let me ask you this question as a conclusion. Have you ever known God as a God that died for you, for your sin? Not just because this is a God, a good God, not because this is a good church, I want to come and be friends with all these people. But you actually realized that you are a sinner and you are in need of this salvation. That kind of realization will bring you to a true confession of faith. And at that time, this faith, this God, is something to do with your life. Otherwise, it's still a problem. You still are in need. You still are going to a wrong direction. I don't know about you. You know, I understand the whole Bible from the Genesis to the Revelation is talking about this event. Abraham, he didn't realize when he is doing that sacrifice, he is demonstrating something wonderful in the future going to happen. So that Hebrews say that God entered that not man-made temple, something greater. That temple in the beginning is Abraham's sacrificing altar. The Israelite people built a temple. They built a wall around that temple. Solomon built a temple. So what? Jesus is going to build a temple for us, a kingdom inside our hearts. And that kingdom, the center of that kingdom, is the altar, is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ for our sin. And we all become a temple of God. You know that? Is that what God called us to be? We, Christian, become a temple of God so God can live in us. Then how can God live in us if we don't set up a sacrifice altar in our heart and let God's blood be shed inside of us? Then there is no way that we become a temple of God. Only when you become a Christian, only when you are living in that eternal temple of God, you can enjoy the eternal peace and secureness. There's no other way. That's the only way. The whole Bible, every story in the Bible are teaching to that point. All the teaching from epistle, those prophet or apostle, they are talking about this point, that we had to believe Jesus died for us and we have to receive him as our Savior. I hope you do that as soon as possible. Now, let's pray. Father, I thank you for this salvation work that we don't even understand. Sometimes we don't understand every aspect of our law, just that we don't understand ourselves. But we know God is good, and we know we are insufficient. We are in need of God. So help us. Even though sometimes we couldn't realize all those difference, but we still can come before you and receive you as our personal Savior. Father, I just pray that your Spirit will help every one of us, that we know we have such a wonderful God. He died for us. Not for us to continue to live in the life of worry and sorrow. That he died for us so we can live a life with secure and peace in our mind. We just had to put our trust in you. We had to receive your salvation in our life. Father, I pray that your Spirit will help us. Let us understand this is a necessity that we, as a sinful man, we had to receive your sacrifice for us. And by doing that, by confessing that, you're going to live with us. You're going to abide in us. You're going to give us peace in our life so we can enjoy being a children of light in our lives, and we're going to honor you in our life. All our life, you will not regret we made that decision. Thank you for whatever you have done for us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.